There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. That each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing can be taken away from it. God does it so people will fear him. Whatever is has already been, and what will be has been before, and God will call the past into account. These are the words of Scripture. May we be blessed with understanding. Would you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you. Oh God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. April 3rd. My friend Rebecca tells me she's going to give birth to a baby boy in the fall. She has been trying for years, and we are rejoicing. January 24th. A beloved mentor of mine passes away. He is surrounded by his family and those who loved him most. September 2nd. I begin my new job here at Old South, and I shake so many hands, and I am so delighted and so nervous to be with you all. August 10th. I sit across from an old friend and we have a hard conversation about the ways we could have been better to one another over the years. It is difficult and needed. The author of Ecclesiastes is right. There is a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot. These dates were mine. I'm sure you've had yours too, those moments that feel like pinpricks in time. Those events that are so significant, they etch themselves into your very being, ensuring that what was once a random date on your calendar is now a marker in time. On a personal level and on a global one, we will all have our Ecclesiastes 3 type of days that, whether good or bad, are so defining that they force us to remember them. But what do we do about everything in between? The moments left undifferentiated, the quiet Tuesdays that are so dull you have to look down to remember what shirt you're wearing. What do we do with the flattening of time? For every Ecclesiastes 3 day I've had what feels like 100 shirt blindness days, 100, wait, it's Friday already days, 100 days where I have found myself passively, subconsciously submitting to the never-ending flow of time. And with each calendar year, it feels like it's gotten harder, as if time is collapsing in on itself all the more quickly. And that's because it has. Psychologists tell us that during the COVID-19 pandemic, people across the globe reported that their sense of time had shifted. A longitudinal study of over 4,000 people found that more than 80% of respondents reported their understanding of time changed during the lockdowns. While days felt endless for some, others reported that weeks disappeared in a blur. But what the researchers discovered en masse was that stress and isolation and the loss of ordinary routines all distorted our very perception of time, warping it, compressing it, making it slip. What do we do with the flattening of time? Because our technology is causing it too. In 2023, another team of researchers tracked down how often people picked up their phones. An average of 352 times in a single day, that's 352 chances to be reminded that your package is out for delivery, your parking meter is expiring, and that someone you've never met urgently needs to get in touch with you to extend your car warranty, whether you have a car or not. Each of these alerts interrupts us, but few of them are meaningful enough for us to remember. And then the news cycle only accelerates this blur. 50 years ago, most Americans got their news once or twice a day, a morning paper and an evening broadcast. Now outlets like the New York Times publish thousands of digital updates in a single day. A story that would have carried a week's worth of headlines in another era barely survives a single news cycle now. A crisis that floods your feed in the morning is replaced by another in the evening, leaving no space to process. And the result? Time feels like it disappears because our attention is spread too thin to notice it. What do we do with the flattening of time? Perhaps to begin by addressing this question, we must realize that we are not the first to ask it. When we meet the author of today's text in Ecclesiastes, who calls himself Qoheleth, which means the teacher or the gatherer of wisdom, he is likely speaking to a group of people who find themselves in a very similar situation. The book was written hundreds of years before the time of Jesus, most likely between the 5th and 3rd centuries before the Common Era, and this was a confusing time for the people of ancient Israel. They were living in a kind of gray space of survival. They were no longer in catastrophic exile as they once were in Babylon when they had been violently removed from their land, but they weren't really free or independent either, as they had been for centuries earlier under the kings of David and Solomon. Instead, they lived under the power of large empires, first the Persians and then the Greeks, who all taxed them heavily and ruled over their daily lives. The people were back in their land, yes, but it was not really theirs, and this led to a deep sense of spiritual disillusionment. For generations, they had been told that God would bless the righteous and bring justice to the land. But when they looked around, this didn't seem to be the case. The poor stayed poor. The corrupt had prospered. Foreign rulers held power, and ordinary people wondered, where is the God of justice that we have been promised? Why do the wicked thrive and the faithful struggle? Qoheleth names this experience with one word, hevel. In English, it is often translated to vanity. But the Hebrew word really means vapor or breath, something fleeting, unstable, impossible to hold on to. Life felt like that for them, fragile, temporary, slipping through their fingers. This was not the life they had imagined. And the result was a kind of ancient flattening of time. Days blurred together, not because nothing was happening, but because so much was happening that the people just couldn't keep up. Their efforts felt futile. One day looked much like the next, while they longed for a better world, and weeks, months, and even years passed by without any thresholds that felt transformative. This is where the teacher finds his community and writes to them about the passage of time. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. The list goes on. And here the teacher is not prescriptive, saying these things should happen, but descriptive, saying these things are going to happen. This is the reality of our world. These things are going to happen. And if you do not notice them, if you do not make time for them, then your life is going to pass you by. You do not have to passively submit to the passage of time as if life is only happening to you. Your life is yours to inhabit. Your days are yours to remember. Yours to claim that no matter how small the event, this thing mattered to me. What do we do with the flattening of time? If we cannot master time, perhaps our calling is to inhabit it fully. For the teachers' community, this inhabiting of time was made possible by some of the very rituals we see in today's text. Grieving together, dancing together, planting a garden. For them, festivals marked the passing seasons, and Sabbaths gave shape to the beginning of each week. Marriage feasts and mourning rites created thresholds for everyday life that people could easily opt into. If you looked for it, life was textured by moments that said, this day matters, this season matters, this threshold in my life and my community's life matters. We too need such markers. But many of ours have eroded. Other than weddings and funerals, we now lack many of the ritual rites of passage that once helped us punctuate time. Civic rituals like parades and festivals have faded, and birthdays and graduations are often familial events at best, not communal ones. And when our lives lack thresholds, when the days pass by unmarked, this flattening only deepens. But Ecclesiastes 3 reminds us that even in the gray space of survival, we are not powerless. It invites us to resist the blur by claiming our days. To notice them, to mark them, to remember them. Perhaps not even with a grand gesture, but with small moments of remembrance. Sometimes it can be as simple as lighting a candle on the anniversary of a loss, baking a cake for a friend's accomplishment, eating something delicious to mark an ordinary win, even if that win is just getting laundry done before the next week begins. These are all sacred acts of resistance against the monotony of life. They are ways of saying this moment is holy. April 3rd, January 24th, September 2nd, August 10th. Those were my days. Yours will be different, but all of us will have them. Days of birth and death, mourning and dancing. The question is whether we will let them pass by unnoticed or whether we will mark them as the seasons of our lives. So let us not passively submit to the flattening of time. Let us inhabit it. Let us proclaim it with our words and with our rituals, great and small. This mattered. This day mattered. This life I've lived has mattered. Because for everything, there is a season, a time for every matter under heaven. And this season, this day, this very moment, it is ours to fully inhabit. Amen.